Today is Thursday, July 2nd. What to know today about new announcements around the country to slow down or reverse reopening plans, and what President Trump now says about the mask mandate debate. Plus, the reported change to the NFL preseason, why NASA is giving big money to small businesses, and which cartoon is making a comeback for a new generation. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview about the impact of a pandemic on voting. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. American bars, restaurants, gyms, and theaters are having to scrap reopening plans in several states. It's out of an abundance of caution, or in some places, necessity. COVID-19 outbreaks keep growing more severe from coast to coast. California is one of the states scaling back reopening. It decided to reclose bars, theaters, and indoor restaurant dining statewide. Arizona closed water parks, bars, gyms, and movie theaters for at least the next 30 days. Some northeastern states are also taking preventative measures, even though the virus hasn't truly had a comeback there yet. New York City decided not to reopen restaurants for indoor dining next week as planned. Still, the worst of these outbreaks is in the South and the West. In fact, another record was broken yesterday. For the first time, the number of new COVID-19 cases in the U.S. surpassed 50,000 in a single day. More than 8,000 of those were just in Texas. Georgia, North Carolina, and Tennessee also set single-day records for new cases. And Arizona reached high marks in all meaningful categories: new cases, deaths, and hospitalizations. Vice President Mike Pence visited Arizona to discuss the outbreak with state leaders. He told them the federal government would send 500 healthcare workers to help out, since state hospitals have become overwhelmed. But Pence did not hold any public events. Those were canceled because of safety concerns. The nation's pediatricians want kids to go back to school this fall in person. The American Academy of Pediatrics put out a strong statement this week advising schools to start their planning with the goal of having students physically present, despite the ongoing spread of COVID-19. The reason? The AAP argues remote learning is likely to lead to a lot of learning loss and even emotional and other health issues from the social isolation. It can also more severely impact low-income children. But this advice came as a surprise to some, since the organization is known to be pretty cautious. And the CDC has said before, learning from home is actually the safest option. Critics are concerned for not just the kids, but also the teachers and staff. NPR cites federal data that a third of teachers are over 50, so they could be more vulnerable to severe illness. Still, the new guidance does stress the importance of having measures in place to lower the risk if students go back to school in person, such as physical distancing, cleaning, using outdoor spaces whenever possible, and canceling any adult gatherings. Of course, things can still change over the next month, so expect more guidance to come. President Trump seems to be changing his tone on face coverings. He told Fox News yesterday he's, quote, all for masks, and if he found himself in a tight crowd, he would wear one. Remember, he hasn't worn one in public yet. And in recent months, he said wearing a mask wouldn't look presidential. Trump also told The Wall Street Journal he believes many people just wear them as a political statement, not necessarily a health precaution. Now it's a bit of a different story. Trump says he actually likes the mask look. Still, he doesn't think a national mask mandate is needed. He thinks wearing a mask should be a personal choice. But a new report from Goldman Sachs presents a different argument. The report says if masks were required nationwide, the economy would actually improve. Specifically, this report says it could save the U.S. GDP from another 5% loss. The GDP, or gross domestic product, is the total value of goods and services produced by a country. And already, the U.S. GDP fell 5% in the first quarter of this year. Shutdowns around the country were mostly to blame. So Goldman Sachs says it's important to avoid more lockdowns, and requiring face coverings could be one way to do that. The protest zone in Seattle, Washington, first known as CHAZ and then called CHOP, is now gone. It's a thing of the past. Police officers turned out in force to clear protesters out of that area. They were following orders from Seattle's mayor, who said CHOP was no longer safe. Remember, this all started as part of the nationwide unrest over the killing of George Floyd and others at the hands of police. Like in many other cities, protesters in Seattle clashed with police. But what was different here is officers abandoned a precinct station. Then protesters occupied several blocks around it. They set up what was meant to be a police-free zone, and it started as a peaceful community. But a couple weeks later, violence broke out. People were even killed in two recent shootings. So police moved back in and protesters were kicked out. Still, the mayor says she's listening to the peaceful activists. She said she's determined to invest in Black communities, reimagine police culture and budgets, and hold people in power accountable for their actions. To be continued. More Confederate monuments are coming down during a national reckoning on racism and injustice. In Richmond, Virginia, the mayor ordered all Confederate statues to come down right away. That includes those standing on the historical Monument Avenue. Already, the Washington Post reports the statue of Confederate General Stonewall Jackson has been removed. And this is pretty significant. Richmond was the capital of the Confederacy during the Civil War 150 years ago. And in recent weeks, there have been mass protests in the city from people demanding the statues come down. In some cases, people even tried to remove the statues themselves. Now the government is stepping in to take care of it. But that's not the case everywhere. In fact, over the 4th of July weekend, the Department of Homeland Security is now responsible for protecting U.S. monuments around the country. The federal agency established a task force to guard historic landmarks. People will still be allowed to protest, but not to vandalize or destroy public property. Tesla is now the most valuable car company in the world. Its market value stands at nearly $210 billion, making the electric automaker worth more than Toyota, Ford, GM, Honda, or any other car company out there. Toyota is in second place, but still $4 billion behind. Now, to be clear, this valuation is just based on stock price. The company is still behind other automakers when it comes to actual production and revenue. The BBC reports Toyota actually sold 30 times more cars than Tesla last year, and its revenues were more than 10 times higher. However, Tesla's high market value shows investors are optimistic about electric cars. The company is not just outpacing other automakers either. It's also now worth more than Disney, Coca-Cola, and ExxonMobil. All right, we have more news coming up, but first let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor this week. If you dread washing and styling your hair, well, it may be the products you're using. It's time to try something new made just for you. Function of Beauty is a customized hair care brand, meaning you tell them about your hair type and your hair goals, and they do the rest, formulating your personalized shampoo and conditioner that even has the scent and color you want. I took the hair quiz, and it's super easy. Then my peach-scented, dye-free, and volumizing yet moisturizing shampoo and conditioner showed up on my doorstep. I also got the leave-in treatment. Function of Beauty is the internet's top-rated customized hair care brand, with more than 30,000 five-star customer reviews and counting. So to get started right now, go to functionofbeauty.com/newsworthy to take your four-part hair profile quiz and save 20% on your first order. Don't spend another minute in hair misery. Go to functionofbeauty.com/newsworthy to let them know we sent you. That's functionofbeauty.com/newsworthy. Now back to the news. NASA is hoping to help small businesses with big ideas. The space agency is going to help bankroll companies who have proposals for new technologies. NASA chose more than 300 companies in 44 states and Washington, D.C. to receive up to $125,000 in grants each. For NASA, it will cost a total of $51 million. But if it helps bring new technology to market, NASA says it will be money well spent. What's interesting is these companies come from a lot of different industries. They came with ideas like a smart air traffic control system, a water purification system for the moon, and a compact sterilizer that could be used by healthcare workers. By next year, NASA hopes some of these ideas can move on to the next phase of development. When they do, the companies can get even more money from NASA. Smoothie and juice maker Odwalla is shutting down at the end of this month. The brand is owned by Coca-Cola, but as you may know, it's not soda. Odwalla makes bottled smoothies and fruit and veggie flavors to be sold at grocery stores. Problem is, as Business Insider reports, the brand has been struggling for years. Plus, shipping them in refrigerated trucks is pretty costly. The NFL is reportedly cutting its preseason in half. Why? ESPN cites sources who say players are going to need a little more time to get in shape since the pandemic threw a wrench in off-season training. So with that, fans can expect the first and fourth weeks of the preseason to be canceled. That will leave just two preseason games for each team, which are scheduled in the last 2 weeks of August. As for players, they still have to report to training camps on July 28th. By the way, pro basketball should also be back this month. NBA players are already working out at home, and 22 teams will be in Orlando, Florida for training next week. Then the season is set to restart July 30th. The comedy duo Beavis and Butthead is making a comeback. In case you're not familiar, Beavis and Butthead was a cartoon that debuted in 1993. It was about two teenagers who sat on the couch and talked about social issues in a somewhat raunchy way. The series originally aired on MTV. Now it's being reimagined for Comedy Central. The same guy who created the first one, Mike Judge, will write and produce this one as well. He's also going to voice both main characters once again. After the original cartoon wrapped, Judge went on to create shows like Silicon Valley and movies like Office Space. But it seems he missed Beavis and Butthead. In a statement, Judge said, quote, "It seemed like the right time to get stupid again." And that's it for the main 10 minutes of news today. But now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And this week, we're talking about voting during a pandemic, the changes and challenges we've already seen, and what to expect next. Because as of tomorrow, we're exactly 4 months away from the general election in November, when the U.S. will pick its next president. My guest today is Kim Whaley. She's the author of the new book, What You Need to Know About Voting and Why. She's a professor with the University of Baltimore School of Law and was formerly an assistant U.S. attorney. She's also a legal expert and analyst for CBS News and contributes to many more media outlets. So here's our conversation about the impact of a pandemic on how you might vote. Hi, Kim. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
So one of the biggest ways we've seen COVID-19 and this pandemic impacting the election process already, really, is encouraging mail-in voting versus in-person voting. So let's first dig into that a little bit. Can you explain the process for both and the possible pros and cons for both?
So the process is you register in your particular state to vote. In some states, when you register to vote, you can also request an application to vote by mail. Otherwise, you show up at the polls, either on election day or, if they allow early voting, earlier, physically to the polls. Some states allow you to vote by mail without any excuse. A number of states, if you vote by mail, you have to have a good reason. And so right now, what we're seeing is COVID being added to the list of excuses to vote by mail. Because if you don't fall within one of those excuses, depending on your state, you have to physically go to the polls. And as we saw in Wisconsin, for example, a pandemic, going to the polls can actually end up getting you sick. You can get exposed to the virus and end up ill. And so one of the big issues with that in this pandemic is people having to make an individual determination. Do I exercise my right to vote and expose myself to the virus, or do I protect my health and the health of my family and just not vote? And that's why there's such a push for mail-in voting, so that people don't have to make that really difficult and, I think, really unfair choice in a democracy.
And what have we seen so far? Because I know there have been reports that we've seen record numbers of mail-in voting for even the primaries and local elections.
People are catching on to this idea of mail-in voting. There are a couple of wrinkles to that. One is that, of course, the Postal Service is notoriously inconsistent and is on track, frankly, to run out of money in November. And the president has vowed not to support any legislation that would actually bail out the Postal Service. But so even if you make a request for a ballot to be able to vote by mail, you might not get it in time and your ballot might not get to the polls in time. So we're seeing a lot of successful voting by mail, but also things falling through the cracks. We've had a Maryland primary, and I know people that just didn't get their ballot. I did get my ballot, but some didn't. And so people, I think, in this moment need to prepare to register to vote online, but also kind of have a backup plan to show up at the polls. The other thing we're seeing is, because of COVID, the actual registration rate is lower than it was in 2016. Because we're not having access to DMVs, for example. And we have a federal law that requires the Department of Motor Vehicles to allow you to register when you go in to do something regarding your driver's license, because those places have been closed. People don't have access to that. And in addition, sort of voter drives, get out the vote drives, where people go to festivals, they go to online, you know, to campuses. That access is not available. So we're seeing a drop, unfortunately, in the actual registration process by virtue of COVID and people just not realizing how important it is to get online and register in ways they might not otherwise have done before.
So you think even in a presidential election in November, we could see voter turnout really impacted by this pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. Voter turnout for two reasons. One is because obviously we're a polarized country and there are a lot of people that are interested on both sides of the aisle of having their vote matter in this moment. But also there are just so many competing variables to having a successful election in the fall, part of which are affected by COVID. And that is really intrinsic to the system. We don't have a national election process. It's state by state and then can be precinct by precinct, and it requires money, and it requires technology, and it requires volunteers, it requires training, it requires public outreach. All of these elements can impact the ability of regular voters to actually have their vote registered on election day. So, I mean, everyone has to take this into their own hands and make sure they're registered, have a backup plan, and grab a couple friends or colleagues.
And whether you're actually literally going to the polls or sending it in by mail.
There are five states where all of the election is completely held by mail-in ballots. We've heard some talk about, you know, voter fraud by mail-in ballots. States like Utah, Oregon, other places have demonstrated historically that's just not the case. There is not widespread voter fraud if you're using mail-in balloting processes. But states that are moving more and more to that just don't necessarily have the infrastructure in place. So plan on being able to show up physically if your mail-in ballot, just the logistics don't pan out. The best resource is to get on your Secretary of State's websites. In most states, it's the Secretary of State that's in charge of elections in that particular state. Do it now, don't wait. Take control of your own right to vote in this constitutional democracy and have a backup plan, because it's that important.
Yet still, do you think there's any impact from the pandemic that could open the door for whoever loses in November to challenge those results?
Well, we have, believe it or not, right in this moment, 27 lawsuits, 27 different states that have lawsuits already pending about voting in the midst of a pandemic. So we will see, we're going to see lawsuits. So I'm hoping to see in the fall, not just a clear winner on some of these ballots, but also by a significant margin, because it's that sort of large number, I think, that will insulate the process. The process of voting from fraudulent challenges. Because when you start losing faith in the process, American democracy by we the people itself falls apart. I mean, having a real election that makes decisions by the people for their own governance is so vital to any issue you care about. None of that matters if we don't have serious elections in this country. And that's what's really on the ballot in November, regardless of who you actually vote for.
Check out today's episode notes on thenewsworthy.com to find a link to Kim Whaley's book, What You Need to Know About Voting and Why. You'll also find links to other voting resources where you can check if you're registered to vote, for example. Just go to thenewsworthy.com/show notes and find today's date. Thank you so much for listening. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 a.m. every weekday. We'll be back tomorrow with your news roundup for Friday and the weekend. Until then, have a great day.